I need your help to help me to preach the word and the things you want me to say and the things that I have written down. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon me, that you help me to have the boldness and the wisdom to say the things you'd have me to say and to not say those things which you wouldn't have me to say, and that the Holy Spirit would help us and minister to the people this morning. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we read there Mark chapter number 12, and I'd like you to see in this passage an emphasis that the Lord Jesus Christ is having in His ministry. If you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And He began to speak unto them by parables." Now, I'm not preaching about this parable, but I want you to understand. He's dealing with he's preaching, and he's specifically dealing with the Pharisees, and he gives them a parable, and he's preaching about them. And it says, "And He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at that season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard." So do you understand the parable? He's saying there was a man, he had a vineyard, he gave his vineyard over to workers, and then he sent for the workers, look at verse 3, "And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another. And him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing others." And killing some. Now you understand the parable, and it's not what we're preaching about this morning. But the parable, Jesus is illustrating how God has dealt with the children of Israel. And he's saying, you children of Israel, I gave you a land, the promised land. I gave you a vineyard. And I gave you a work to do. And then I sent my messengers, talking about the prophets. And you disobeyed the prophets, and you hurt the prophets, and you killed the prophets, and you stole the prophets. Look at verse 6. "Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also unto them, saying, they will reverence my son." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God sent to the children of Israel prophets and prophets and prophets, and they abused the prophets, and they stoned the prophets, and they killed the prophets. And then God finally said, "Well, I'll send them my son. They'll reverence my son. They'll reverence my son." Look at verse 7. "But those husbands said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard." Now Jesus, after he told the parable, he's asking the Pharisees, because this is what the Pharisees are doing to him. And Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others." So who are those others? The Gentiles. That's what happened. But I want you to see verse number 10, and this is really what I'm preaching about this morning. He says, he's giving them a parable, and he's really telling them the story of their history of Israel, the biblical timeline. And the problem he has with them in verse 10, he says this, "And have ye not read this scripture?" And he begins to tell them about a scripture, a prophecy about Jesus Christ. He said, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." And he says, why is this alarming to you? Haven't you already read this? He said, he asked the question, "Have ye not read?" I want you to skip to verse number 18. Obviously, verse number 12, when we read the chapter, you saw there's a lot of different stories, a lot of parables, different things happening. In verse 18, we have another story. It says, "Then come unto him the Sadducees." You say, what are the Sadducees? The Sadducees and the Pharisees were two of the religious groups in that day. And the Sadducees, the Bible says there, "They come unto him, the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection." And they ask him, saying, so these Sadducees, this religious group, they don't believe that there's a resurrection. They don't believe that Jesus was going to resurrect, or that God will resurrect people at the last day, which we preached on that last week about the resurrection. So these people, they come to Jesus, and they're wrong in their doctrine because they don't believe in the resurrection. And they ask Jesus a question. And I think it's funny, because if you look at 19, they say, "Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother." Now that's a law. I don't have time to show it to you in the Old Testament, but that's a law in the Bible. Whenever a man took a wife, if he died before he could have children, his brother was supposed to take that wife unto his own and have children, but those children were going to take the name on of the father that died. And it was a way to keep that name going so that family wouldn't just finish off because he happened to die, before he could have children. So they're saying, the Bible tells us that this is what's going to happen. Look at verse 20. Now they begin to ask a very silly question. Look what they say. They say, "Now there were seven brethren. And here's what you understand. Whenever someone gives you, they're giving Jesus a hypothetical. Whenever someone gives you a hypothetical, well, what if this were to happen? You know, you already know you're in trouble. Because now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. So he said, okay, there were seven brothers, the first one took a wife, he died, and he had no children, he left no seed. And the second took her, and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. So they're saying, this guy took a wife, he died, he had no children. The second did it, took her, had no children, died, had no children. The third, you know, and all seven. So this woman was married to all seven of them, and didn't have any children with any of them. And remember, they don't believe in the resurrection, so they're attacking Jesus on the doctrine of the resurrection, right? Look at verse 23. They give him this hypothetical, which is never going to happen. I mean, you think that that could actually happen? Someone would have seven sons, they'd all be married to the same, and none of them would have children? I mean, this is this hypothetical thing that's very likely not to happen. But in verse 23, they ask their question. They say, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. So they're like, we got you, Jesus. If the resurrection is true, then when they resurrect, who is she going to be married to? Because if she would have had children with one of them, he could have said, oh, well, with the one he had children with. But he said, she had children with none of them. Which one is she going to be married to? Look at the response of Jesus Christ. Verse 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err? That word err there is the same, it's talking about an error. He said, you have an error in your philosophy. You have an error in your thinking. He said, do ye not therefore err? Why? Look what he says. Because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. He said, you know, you're asking, and sometimes people, and you know, don't take this the wrong way. You ask me any question you want. But so, oftentimes people ask me this hypothetical question, and it's not because they actually want to know, it's because they're trying to attack something I preach. Well, if that's true, what if this, you know, this whole thing, that's never going to happen? And oftentimes I want to say to them the same thing as Jesus. Yeah, if you just read your Bible, you'd already know the answer to that. He says, do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Look at his answer, verse 25. He says, if you read the Bible, if you knew the scriptures, you would already know, verse 25, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Let me tell you something. When you die and go to heaven, or when we get resurrected, you're not going to be married to your spouse. You're married till death do us part. That's what the Bible says. So once you're dead, you're done. And in the resurrection, you don't marry and you're not given in marriage. You're not going to be in heaven, you know, going to your nightclubs and trying to date. And trying, you know, that's not how it's going to work. And Jesus says to these people, you know, you ask a very dumb question, and you wouldn't be asking this dumb question if you read your Bible. He said, do ye not therefore err because ye know not the scripture? He said, if you knew the scripture, you'd already know that in heaven, it says, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven, and as touching the dead, they rise. And he says, and by the way, and this goes with the sermon last week, he said, they're not even dead. He said, have you not read? Notice what he asked. Have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He said, he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. See, what was their problem? Why was their doctrine mixed up? Why was their thinking messed up? What was their philosophy? Here's their number one problem, the Pharisees. Jesus kept asking over and over in the Gospel. He kept asking, have ye not read? And I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of the importance of Bible reading. We must be a people who read the Bible and know the Scriptures. And I want to get, you know, point number one is this. We got 3 points this morning. Point number one is this, the purpose of Bible reading. The purpose of Bible reading. And we saw here in the example in Mark 12 that the number one reason for Bible reading is to know your Bible. It's to know the Scriptures. It's to know what you believe. Let me give you, this is a common theme in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You're there in Mark chapter number 12. Go with me to Mark chapter number 2. Go back to Mark chapter number 2. Look at verse number 23. Mark chapter number 2, look at verse 23. You'll be surprised how common this is in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter number 2, look at verse 23. The Bible says, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Mark 2, I'm in Mark 1. Mark 2, 23. Mark chapter number 2, verse 23, it says, "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn." So it's a Sabbath day. Jesus hasn't died yet, so they're still under the New Testament law. And they're going through Sabbath day, you're not supposed to be working. They're going through a Sabbath day, and they're just plucking ears as they're walking through the fields, and they're eating. They're having lunch. And that was totally allowed for them to do based on the law. Look at verse 23. "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" So there's a Jew. Why are they doing that? Now, they weren't working. Okay? They weren't out there making income. The Bible says it's totally allowed for them to walk through the field, and you were, as you walk the field, if you were hungry, you were allowed to grab something and eat it. Now, you weren't allowed to bring your backpack and fill up your backpack and go home. That's stealing. But if you were walking through the field, even if it belonged to someone else, if you were hungry, they were supposed to be charitable, and they were allowed to grab something and eat it. Again, not to bring your basket and steal people's stuff. But, you know, that was a law that was given for the widows and for the fatherless, is what the Bible says. So they could go and eat something if they were hungry. But the Pharisees, they come in, "Why are your disciples doing that? Why are they doing that which is not lawful?" Look at verse 25. "And he said unto them," look what he says, look what Jesus responds, "Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him?" And he goes on to school them on the fact that they're not doing anything wrong. But notice he says, have you never read? He said, why don't you know this? Go over to Matthew chapter number 19. The book right before Mark. Matthew chapter number 19. Look at verse 3. Matthew chapter number 19. Look at verse 3. Look what the Bible says. It says, the Pharisees, Matthew 19 verse 3, it says, "The Pharisees also come unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him," look, they're asking him a question, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" The word "put away" means divorce. They're asking him about divorce. Is it lawful for someone to get divorced? And notice what they say, "For every cause, just for anything?" Well, we're not compatible anymore. Well, I don't like her anymore. I don't like him anymore. This is what they're asking him. And this is the same. When somebody comes to me, you know, obviously newer Christians, I don't do this too. But if someone's been saved for many years, I know they know what's right, and they're, you know, oftentimes people come to me and they just want me to like tell them what they're doing is okay, just so they feel good about it. And when somebody asks me, you know, is it okay for me if I know that they already know that's wrong? This is what I usually like to answer. Like, I said, like verse 4, like Jesus, "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read?" Said, why are you asking me this? "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." So they ask him, is it okay to put away your wife? And he said, why haven't you read the Bible? You see a pattern in the ministry of Jesus Christ? Look at Matthew 21, look at verse 12. Matthew 21, look at verse 12. Look what the Bible says. Matthew 21, look at verse 12. Look what it says. Matthew 21, 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." And by the way, it had nothing to do with the sermon, but Jesus hates it when people sell anything in the house of God. Look at verse 13. "And said unto them," so these people are setting up their little stand in the temple. They're selling their CDs. They're selling their books. They got their little Christian bookstore, you know, and they're selling all these things. That's why, by the way, at Verity Baptist Church, we sell nothing. You want the Bible? You can have it. You want preaching CDs? You can have them. You want to come to the ladies' activity? It's free. You know, I went to church my whole life where I wanted to go to the youth activity. I have to pay $5 and pay for my meal. And all this. We don't sell anything because of this verse right here. And don't come to church selling stuff either. Don't bring your, you know, I started selling vacuums, and I'm going to sell a vacuum to everybody in church. You say, well, what if I do that, Pastor? What's going to happen? I'm probably going to walk up to you and just quote to you verse 13. Because this is what Jesus, these people were selling in the temple, and he walks up to them. You know, first he goes and just throws their money on the floor, throws their tables on the floor, causes this huge commotion. Verse 13, "And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." He said, it's written. He said, it's in the Bible. "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased." Look, they're in the temple. This is going on. Look at verse 16. and said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, look what he says, look how he responds. Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? All throughout the scriptures, Jesus, people say, what do you think about this? And this is what he keeps asking. Haven't you read? Why don't you know? Haven't you ever read that scripture? Jesus expected people to be reading their Bibles. Go with me to Luke. You're there in Matthew? Look at Luke. Luke, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Right before the book of John. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Jesus Christ in His ministry expected the people to be Bible reading Christians. Luke chapter number 10. Look at verse 25. Luke chapter number 10. Look at verse 25. Look what it says. Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Look what He responds. He said unto him, what is written in the law? Look what He asked Him. How readest thou? And let me tell you something. In America today, by and large, Christians in our country do not read their Bible. By and large, Christians in our country are very weak, anemic Christians. They don't know what they believe. They don't know what they stand for. They don't know the Bible. And we as Christians must purpose in our hearts to read the Bible. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter towards the end of your New Testament. If you get to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, or Revelation, you went too far. 2nd Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 17. 2nd Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse 17. Look what the Bible says. 2nd Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse 17. 2nd Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse 17. Look what it says. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Look what it says in verse 18. This is a commandment to Christians. He says, but grow in grace and in the, what's the next word? Knowledge. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The Bible says that you are to grow in grace and grow in knowledge. Let me tell you something. Church is not for you to come and, oh, I just love the music and it just makes me feel so good. And I got so, you know, and all these people say, like, I'm a real mature Christian. Why? Because I go to church. Well, how much do you know about Jesus Christ? Well, how much do you know about the Bible? Well, the Bible says you're supposed to grow in knowledge. And number one, the purpose for Bible reading is to grow in knowledge. It's read the Bible for knowledge. And by the way, let me tell you this. Read the Bible for knowledge. You know, sometimes we get this idea that we're just going to read the Bible and we're going to get something out of it that's going to really be emotional and really nice. And look, I'm all for that. I read the Bible and sometimes verses hit my heart and I'm like, wow, I needed that. And I'm emotional. And praise the Lord for it. I tell the guys who are preaching, I said, when that happens, write that verse down. Capture that thought. What touched you about that? And preach that. But let me tell you something. I read the Bible regardless of whether I get a fuzzy feeling or not. Because even if you say, well, I didn't get anything from the scripture, you at least learned something. You at least understood something. You at least gained knowledge. The purpose of Bible reading is for knowledge. Not only for knowledge, the purpose of Bible reading is to grow. Look, you're there in 2 Peter 3. Look at verse 18. Look what it says. It says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice the second word of that verse. It says, but grow. But grow. One of the purposes to read the Bible is for you to grow. It's for you to mature. You're there in 2 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter right before that. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And verse 2. The Bible says this. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 2. Look what it says. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You see that? You ever heard this term, being born again? The Bible says when you got saved, you got born again. You were made a new creature. And according to 2 Peter chapter number 2, when you were born again, when that new man was regenerated in you, you were born just like a physical birth. Is anybody ever born an adult? Obviously not. You're born as a child, as a baby. And the Bible says when you got saved, you are a babe. You are a newborn baby. And he says, just like a newborn baby desire, you know, you've been around newborn babies? What do they want? Food. They want to be fed. They want milk. And by the way, you know, babies don't feed themselves. You understand what I'm talking about? They cry and cry, and you've got to put their mouth to it and feed them. And if you don't, they'll die. And the Bible says when you got saved, you were a new baby. Look, you weren't able to feed yourself. That's what church is about. See, we go out and we get you saved. We go out and we get you baptized. You're a new disciple. You're a new Christian. And you come in here and I'm feeding you. I'm taking the Word of God. I'm spooning it into your mouth. Because you can't feed yourself yet because you're a baby. And don't take that. We're babies. I was a baby spiritually. But notice that it says, as you more babies desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You say, how can I mature in my Christianity? How can I grow in my Christianity? By the Word. Says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You say, how can I grow? See, you need to understand this, okay? Spiritual maturity is not based on time. Okay? That's how we grow. You know, we measure how big you are or how old you are on time physically. I'm 26 years old. I'm 56 years old. He's 6 years old. That's not how spiritual maturity is gauged. There are people who've been saved for decades and are spiritually babies. So how do you know they're babies? Because they need to be fed. Because they don't feed themselves. You see, when do you know that a baby is ready to start feeding themselves? When they feed themselves. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you'll have my two sons, Joshua and Joel, and when they were nursing, whatever, you know, by the time you're in and out or something like that, and they reach out and grab the milkshake and they're sticking it around, you know, it's time to start feeding themselves. You know what I mean? When they start reaching out for the French fries and they start reaching out, you know, Joel wakes up, he's 2 years old, wake up, if we didn't put a check on him, he'd be opening up the refrigerator just feeding himself. You know, we're not going to keep him on the milk. We're not going to keep nursing him. Because he's maturing. And you can gauge your maturity level as a Christian. Does Pastor Jimenez have to come and feed you on Sunday morning? Or are you old enough to feed yourself? See, don't base it. You know, the Bible said, you know, somebody called me. And they were saying to me, they listened to my preaching online. And they're saying, oh, Pastor Jimenez, it's so hard. I listened to preaching online. I saw your website and stuff. It's so hard out there. You know, he said, I'm 25 years old. And I don't, you know, there's fundamental Baptists. They're just not there's not young fundamental Baptists out there, you know. They're all these older people and they're taking the stand. And I believe it. I mean, but it's just tough for a young person. I'm like, you listen to my preaching online? Yeah, I love it. It's great. I'm 26 years old. He's like, what? I said, hey, the Bible says this. You know, Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and charity and faith and all those things. You say, so what, I'm not going to go listen to a 26-year-old. Well, Christian maturity is not based. You know, you read your Bible cover to cover 10 times. You memorize books of the Bible and chapter the Bible. You grow mature. You grow. So, well, I'm 86 years old. I've been saved for 40 years. You ever led a soul to Christ? You ever read your Bible cover to cover? You don't base it on time. You base it on feeding yourself. You're there in 1 Peter. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews, right before 1 Peter. You got 1 Peter, then you got the book of James right in front of you. Then you've got Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 5. Now keep your finger there, unless you already did it. Put in 1 Peter there, put like a bulletin or something, because we're going to come back to that later on in the sermon. I want you to find it quickly. But go to Hebrews chapter number 5. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at verse 12. Here's the problem with most Christians. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at verse 12. This is what Paul said. He said, for the time ye ought to be teachers, he's talking to these Christians, he said, you know, it's about time that you start teaching somebody. He said, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The word oracles there is another word for the Word of God. He said, you know, you've been saved for a long time. It's about time you start teaching somebody. It's about time you go preach the gospel to somebody. But instead, I have to go and teach you again the basics, the principles of the oracles of God, and are become, look what he says, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Isn't that amazing? He said, you should be teaching But instead, you're like a little baby. I can't even preach to you doctrine. I can't even get deep with the scripture. I can't give you the meat because you still need milk. We're still working on the basics with you. Look at verse 13. It says, how can you tell if someone is mature or immature? How can you tell if someone's ready for the meat or if they still need the milk? Look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk, look what he says. If you use milk, if you're fed, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Why do you need someone to feed you? You need someone to feed you if you're unskillful. I don't really know the Bible. I don't really know where everything is. I don't really know. Now look, if you're in that stage, I'm not mocking you or making fun. I'm trying to tell you something. It's time to grow up. It's time to bring it up a notch. It's time to read 9 chapters a day. It's time to get, on board and say, hey, I'm going to grow a little bit. I'm going to mature a little bit. I don't want to just be spoon-fed, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, if we're lucky that you make it to the 3 services. Could you imagine if I took my children physically and I just fed them 3 meals a week? They would die. They'd be weak. They'd be anemic. They wouldn't survive. You're right. But you expect to survive spiritually that way? You need to be fed every day. So, well, Pastor, what are you going to do? Are you going to come to my house and teach me everything? No, you're going to have to learn to feed yourself. Amen. Verity Baptist Church is like a good restaurant. You come out on the weekend and we'll serve up a nice meal for you. And we'll give you, this is your date night. This is time out spiritually. This is going out, and getting fed. But hey, you got to cook up something every day and eat it. Look what it says in verse 14. Look what it says. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of, you see the next 2 words? Full age. Even those who by reason of use. How did they get to be full age? They used the Bible. Even so, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you see that? A mature Christian feeds himself. A mature Christian gets really good at this thing. A mature Christian reads his Bible cover to cover, cover to cover, cover to cover, year after year, year after year. And you learn the Bible and you understand the Bible and you grow in the Bible. Why? Because you want to grow. We said number one is so you can learn the Bible, so you can have knowledge. Number two, so you can grow. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. You're there in Hebrews? Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Pastor, we're looking at too many references. Well, first of all, that's normal. And secondly, you better believe if I'm going to preach about reading the Bible, we're going to use a whole lot of Bible. Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse 14. Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse 14. Ephesians 4, 14, look what it says. Look what he said. For we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You say, Pastor, how can I make sure? And you better be very careful with the, with the televangelists and the guy, and all these preachers and all these things. It's good for preaching. I praise the Lord. I put my preaching on the internet. But you better be careful with internet preaching and people on TV. They don't have any accountability to you. You don't know what they're teaching you. And it's very easy to get sucked into the wrong doctrine. Well, I read to them so that we should be doing this. People often, they'll ask me a question. They'll say, I got a Bible question for you. I say, okay. They'll say, I read here. And I'll ask them this, where? And I'll be like, well, I read in this book. No. Don't talk to me about some book. Talk to me about the Word of God. Show it to me in the Word of God. They'll go, well, I don't know where it's in the Word. Well, have you not read? You got to understand. The Bible says, that we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Today I'm here. Tomorrow I'm there. Today I believe this. Tomorrow I believe that. That's not how you should be. You should be grounded in the Word. And the beautiful thing about the Word of God is it doesn't change. I believe it says the same thing today that it said yesterday. And if it tells me today salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone, tomorrow is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But see, I'm not, so-and-so made it sound really good. Doesn't matter what so-and-so said. What does the Bible say? We read, the purpose of Bible reading, I said number one is for knowledge. I said number two is for growth. Number two, point number one was the purpose of Bible reading. Point number two is the pupil in Bible reading. The pupil in Bible reading. You say, what does the pupil mean? It means student. Who's the student when it comes to Bible reading? Let me give you the answer to that question. You. You say, where am I going to learn the Bible from? Well, there's two ways to learn the Bible. Let me explain them to you. You're there in Ephesians chapter number 4, right? Look at verse 11. We've looked at these verses before, but let's look at them again. Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse number 11. Look what the Bible says. The first place you're going to learn the Bible is in church. The first place you're going to learn the Bible is in church. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11. It says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did He give you a pastor? Why did He give you a teacher? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. Look how the Bible is so perfect and so consistent. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge, do you see that? And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what He said? He said the reason He gave you a pastor, the reason He gave you a preacher, a teacher, is that you can grow in knowledge, is that you can grow in the measure, in the fullness, so you can mature. Amen. You said, where am I going to mature? A Bible preaching church. And by the way, those are few and far between today. The average church today, an hour and 20 minutes of music, 20-minute sermon, if you're lucky, and probably three verses used in it. We need to get back to using the Bible in our churches and teaching the Bible and getting, because that's the point. The purpose is to help you grow in church. But like I said, it's not just that. If the only time you ate was church, you'd die. Do it physically. Try it. I would say this. Why don't you eat physically every time you read the Bible? Most of you would be dead in 3 days. That's the truth. You're going to learn in church, but number two, you're going to learn the Bible from the Holy Spirit in your personal Bible reading. And let me tell you something. 10% of what you learn from the Bible should be in church. 90% of the rest should be in your personal Bible reading. I can't preach to you the entire Bible. I preach for an hour and 5 minutes and people are looking at me cross-eyed. I can't, you know, I got an hour 3 times a week. If you come to our church for 20 years, I'll preach every verse in the Bible. I promise you that. But that's way too long. We'll teach you, you know, and obviously I've read the Bible and I study the Bible and I can bring out sermons and teach you faster and bring things to the light for you. But you ought to be reading your Bible and learning the Bible on your own. Go with me to John chapter number 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 14. People have bought into this idea that they can't read or understand the Bible on their own. I can't read the Bible, Pastor. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's a lie of the devil. God has made a provision for all of us. You're there in John chapter number 14. Look at verse 16. Look what it says. John chapter number 14. Look at verse 16. Look what it says. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Jesus Christ said, hey, the Father's going to give you another Comforter. Because He said, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm ready to get to ascend to my Father. He said, but I'm going to pray, and the Father's going to bring you a Comforter, and He's going to abide with you forever. So who's this Comforter? Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. Who's the Comforter? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Look at that. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I want you to notice a few things. In verse 17 it says, and the Spirit of truth, notice this, whom the world cannot receive. Can the world receive the Holy Spirit? No, they cannot. Why? Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Look at verse, we're there in John 4. Look, skip down to verse number 26. Look at what the Bible says. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Notice how the Bible, it's its own dictionary, explains for us. What is Comforter? I better go get something and tell, you know, go read some book and tell me. The Bible defines itself. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Look what it says. This is one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to teach you. Is to teach you the Bible. You say, Pastor Jimenez, I can't understand. Are you saved? Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit, you can pick up a Bible, read it, learn it. Now look, I'm not saying the first time you read the Bible, you're going to understand everything. But you'll understand something. you'll learn something. You'll grow in something. And you know what? You know when you use these two, God gave us the church and God gave us the Holy Spirit. When you use these in sync with each other, it's so beautiful. It does miraculous things that I could never plan. I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody told me, Pastor, I was reading this passage in the Bible and I didn't really get it. And I came to church on Wednesday night and you explained it. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really good at that. No, it's the Holy Spirit. You think I planned that? I can barely pay my bills on time. You think I'm going to be able to, you know, well, I know so-and-so told me they're reading this, and this other thing, and I'm going to bring it all together in this sermon. That's God doing that. But see, you missed Wednesday, so you didn't get it. Or you didn't read your Bible that day, so you didn't get it. The Holy Spirit's supposed to teach you. Look at verse 7. John 16, look at verse 7. John chapter number 16. Look at verse number 7. Look what it says. John chapter number 16, look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he's telling us the jobs of the Comforter. This is what he's going to do. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. You see that? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you the Bible. Let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. You need church. But there's nothing that I preach behind this pulpit that you could not get yourself in your Bible reading. The Holy Spirit could teach you the Bible. And if I ever teach something, or here's the thing, if someone ever started to teach you something, and you know, someone says, oh, I found this new doctrine, let me explain it to you. And I'll be like, well, show it to me in the Bible. Well, I can't show it to you in the Bible, but here, watch this DVD, and I'll explain to you. If someone has to explain to me something in the Bible, then it's not right. Because I should be able to read the same verses, the same scripture, and come to the same conclusion. I remember when, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I remember my good friend, Pastor Steve Anister, and we before he was a pastor, he was living in Indiana, and I remember my wife and I, we were kind of just back and forth, we'd just been married for a short time, and we've been really growing, and you know, in our spiritual life, we got rid of our television, we had no TV in the house. My wife, you know, we read the Bible, and I don't have time to go into it. I preached sermons on it before, so I'm not trying, you know, if you don't understand it, talk to me after the service, and I'll give you a sermon. But my wife and I had just studied, and we'd gone off of birth control, and we've been doing a lot of things in our growth. I remember we went to go visit my good friend and his wife there in Indiana, and when we got there, we started talking, and we found out they don't have a TV. And I never knew that, they didn't have a TV. He might have told me, you know, years ago, but I didn't remember. When I was a young teenager, before I was married, I didn't think about those things, you know. And then later on, we found out his wife was on birth control. And I remember I stood back and I thought to myself, man, that is so amazing. They don't have a TV. We don't have a TV. We never talked about that. They're not on birth control. We're not on birth control. We never talked about that. They're soul winning. We're soul winning. How is it? You know, and we found so many people that follow the same line. And then I realized this. You know what? They should be able to read their Bible, and I should be able to read my Bible and come to the same conclusions. It shouldn't surprise me that we have the same belief. You know, people who live on the other side, they believe the same thing. Their wives wear, you know, dresses and skirts, and our mothers, they believe the same thing. They're just right down the line. They think, how is that? It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Word of God. There's nothing I can teach you that you should not be able to learn yourself. But if you come to church, we put you on a, you know, we kind of speed it up. But try to be reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit will teach you the Bible. You're there in John. Go with me to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. And let me explain something to you. The unsaved person cannot understand the Bible. You need to get this idea in your mind. Someone who's not saved cannot understand the Bible. Period. And let me show that to you from the Scriptures. Look at Acts chapter number 8. Look at verse number 26. We have Philip, the evangelist, preaching the gospel. And the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Do you understand what's going on? The angel of the Lord tells Philip, "Hey, go to this one place." And when he went there, there was an Ethiopian there, a eunuch, a man of great authority under the Candace. He was a politician, and he worked for the queen of the Ethiopians. Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, on a chariot, look at verse 28, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So this man is sitting in his chariot, he's got the Bible open, he's in the book of Isaiah, and he's reading. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "This look at very nothing's in the Bible by mistake or coincidence. If it's in the Bible, it's in there for a reason." And Philip says to this man, he sees him reading the Bible, and he says, "Understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading?" And look what he says in verse 31. And he said, "How can I, except a man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in his place. That's why we do soul winning. You know, churches have this idea. This is their outreach. We're going to go out in the community. We're going to hand out a bunch of tracts. We're going to hand out a bunch of, Romans and John. And we're just going to give the word to people. And they're going to read it. And they're going to get saved. Let me tell you something. Someone who you give a tract to that has verses on it, or someone you give a Bible to, if they're not saved, they will read that Bible 100 times and they'll never understand it. They'll never get the gospel. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. The only way an unsaved person can understand the Bible is if someone who has the Holy Spirit comes up next to him and says, "Let me explain to you what it says." That's soul winning. That's why we go out. If people could get saved by me handing them a piece of paper and saying, "Here, read this," and you're going to get saved, then why were they knocking on doors, going house to house, preaching the gospel all throughout the Bible? Unsaved people can't understand the Scriptures. This is why he said to this man, "You know, do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I? I don't know. This makes no sense to me." Look at verse 31. It's verse 32. The place of the Scripture which he read was this. So that tells us, and by the way, this is Isaiah 53. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 is what he's reading. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And it says, it was this. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from him." Look at verse 34. So that's the passage you read. Now, if you're a Christian and you may be thinking, "That's so obvious. That's about Jesus, you know, when he died on the cross, right?" But look at verse 34. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or for the other man?" You mean to tell, you know what just happened there? An unsaved person read a direct passage of the Bible talking about the death of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ could save his soul, and the guy said, "What is this talking about? I don't get it." So Philip just handed him a tract and walked away and said, "Here, read this." Is that what it says? Look at verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." A soul winner filled with the Holy Ghost went and said, "Hey, let me explain to you what that's talking about." And by the way, this has nothing to do with sermon, but let me show you this. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" He said, "What's stopping me from getting baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He said, "What's stopping me from getting baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe, you can get baptized." And he said, "I believe." So what happened in verse 38? "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." If you got a King James Bible. And by the way, let me tell you this. Don't waste your time reading perversions of the Bible. Don't waste your time. I'm going to read the NIV. It's easier to read. I'm going to read the New King James. It's easier to read. I'm going to read the Amplified Version. You know, if you have an NIV, and I'm not going to take the time to do it because I don't have time, but if you have an NIV in front of you right now, follow the Scriptures. Look at the verses. It's going to go 35, 36, 38. The New International Version of the Bible, which is the most widely used version of the Bible in America today, completely omits verse 37. And they don't even hide it. They literally go 35, 36, 38, 39. I showed it to people, like, "You're lying." I show it to people. "You don't believe me? I'll show it to you. I got an NIV right here." And by the way, that's not just for one mistake. All throughout the scriptures. And what did they remove? What did they remove? If I had an NIV and I was reading the NIV, I would read this. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me baptize?" Right? And then verse 37 would be gone, and I would read, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." According to the NIV, if you ask the question, what's stopping you from being baptized? Apparently nothing. Apparently, go right ahead. You know, I'm sure the Catholics like that when they're baptizing their babies. I'm sure, you know, all these other religions that are preaching work salvation. But the Bible says, no, 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 no. And Philip said, "If thou believest thou with all thine heart, thou mayest." What did they remove from the chapter? Here's what they removed. Believe, faith, and Jesus Christ. And, you know, I don't have time to get into that. I preach entire sermons on the subject of versions of the Bible. But don't waste your time reading other versions of the Bible. You'd be better off just reading the Communist Manifesto. Because it's not, it's the same spirituality. Get a King James Bible and read it. The point I'm trying to tell you is this. Unsaved people can understand Scripture. Let me show that to you even further. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. You're there in Acts. The very next chapter is Romans. Romans, then you got 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 12. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse 12. The Bible says this. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." So what did we receive? The spirit of the world or the spirit which is of God? We received the spirit which is of God, the Holy Spirit. "And we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak," look what he says, "not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost," what's the next word? "Teacheth." Who's going to teach you the Bible? The Holy Ghost. How? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You know how you learn the Bible? You compare the Old Testament with the New Testament. You know how you learn the Bible? You compare Matthew with Mark, with Luke with John, with Acts with Romans. You compare spiritual. You don't compare the Bible with some book that another man wrote. "Well, this other person said this, so this must be right." No. Spiritual things with spiritual things. Look at verse 14. Look what it says. Verse 14. "But the natural man," that's the unsaved man, "but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man cannot understand the Scriptures. So when you go to your unsaved family member, and you try to tell them something about the Bible, and they don't understand it, that's normal. They don't get it. They don't have the... You say, "Well, it's so easy." I understand it. You understand it because the Holy Spirit of God is teaching it. They don't get it because they don't have the Holy Spirit. An unsaved person can understand the Scriptures. The first, before you get, you say, "Well, I just think, man, I know if I could get a hold of so-and-so, I can help their marriage. I can help them with their children. I could give them advice from the Bible and it would help them with their finances." But here's the problem. They're never going to understand it. The first thing we need to do for an unsaved person is get them saved. Because when they get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and all of a sudden, it all makes sense. I've been out the door with people, preaching the gospel to them, and they'll be like, "What about this doctrine? I don't really understand this, you know." They'll say, like, "I'm preaching the gospel, I don't really understand this thing here about, you know," like, a perfect example, speaking in tongues. I don't understand that. Can you explain it to me? And usually when I'm soul winning, I don't like to go off on rabbit trails, because number one, they're not going to understand it if I explain it to them anyway. So this is what I said to this people before. I said, "Hey, let's talk about that later. Let me talk to you about this, about your salvation." I'm like, "Okay." Literally, I can tell you of people I've done this with. Give them the gospel, they get saved. The Holy Spirit moves in, and I'll say to them, "Now let me show you about the Holy about tongue speaking." I'll take them to Acts 2, explain to them, and they're like, "Makes perfect sense." What happened? 5 minutes ago it didn't make perfect sense. I'll tell you exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit moved in. The unnatural man cannot receive things that are spiritual. Go with me to 1 John, towards the end of your New Testament. 1 John, chapter number 2. 1 John, chapter number 2, towards the end of your New Testament. If you find the book of Jude or Revelation, you went too far. 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse 27. Here's what you got to understand, okay? 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 27. You don't need someone to teach you. You can read it and learn it for yourself. 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse 27. Look what it says. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing, talking about the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, when they would anoint someone with oil, that represented the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to show it to you right now. I can prove it to you later if you don't believe me. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. Look what he says. Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. I want you to say it. It says, but ye need not that any man teach you. Now that's not saying you should come to church and you should be taught, but you don't need to be taught. You can learn it yourself. Like I said, 10% of your knowledge should come from church, 90% should come from your personal Bible reading. And don't fall into this trap, I can't understand the Bible. You know, people get to that, I can't read the King James Bible, it doesn't make any sense to me. Slow down, read it carefully, concentrate, ask God to explain to you, you'll understand it. Like I said, you're not going to get it all. But you'll get a lot. You know, the first time I read the Bible cover to cover, I read the book of Leviticus, could understand hardly any of it. But now the book of Leviticus is one of my favorite books of the Bible. After reading it multiple times, it starts making sense. You start putting things together. You start seeing, and this is, and by the way, let me tell you this right now. Because as a pastor, I'm getting sick and tired of this. People coming up to me and trying to correct me on something I preach when I spend an hour and 150 verses, and they're like, well, I saw this, and I don't think you're right about this. And then I'll ask him, have you read your cover, your Bible cover to cover? Well, I've never read a cover to cover. I mean, why is somebody who's never even read the entire Bible cover to cover trying to teach me something about the Word of God? If you haven't read the Bible cover to cover, I don't care what you have to say. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Maybe you haven't got to it. Maybe you haven't read that verse. Read your Bible cover to cover 5 times and we'll talk about it. The Bible, have the Holy Spirit teach it to you. You know, people all the time try to correct me. You said this. It's like, and this is what I think to myself. I read their emails, and this is what I think to myself. Have you not read? Don't you know the Bible says? But here's the problem, they haven't read. You need to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. You can learn the Bible. You know, don't rely on these little devotionals. Oh, I got this little devotional and I'm going to read it. And if you got a devotional, I'm not picking on you because everyone has a devotional. That's like the biggest fad right now. But here's the problem with devotionals. You know what the problem with devotionals is? You read a little chapter of the Bible. It's like 3 verses and then like 8 paragraphs about somebody telling you about their little thing. You need to just get the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach you the Bible. Get heavy doses of Scripture. That's what we're doing now, giving you heavy doses of the Word of God. And then you go home and you read your 9 chapters a day in the month of January, and you get those heavy doses of the Word of God, and you're going to start realizing, you know, you start growing. You're going to start realizing you start maturing. You're going to start realizing, man, things that didn't make sense before, they make sense now. Things that I didn't know about, I know them now. I understand them now. They're in the Scripture. You don't need someone. Go with me to Acts 17. Acts 17. And let me tell you something. He said, Pastor, why are you so mad? I'm not mad. This is how I talk. Acts 17, look at verse 10. Acts 17, look at verse 10. You shouldn't trust man. And I'll be the first to tell you, you shouldn't trust me. I'm a human just like you. I make mistakes just like you. This is why at our church we emphasize heavy Bible reading. Because you shouldn't, well, the pack, you know, people ask you, well, why do you believe that? You know, you ladies, you get rid of your pants and you start wearing dresses all day and somebody goes, why do you wear skirts and you don't wear pants? The wrong answer is this, well, the pastor said we should. No, you need to know why you do what you do. Why you believe what you believe. Why do you go soul winning? Why do you pray? Why do you believe in eternal security? Why do you believe all these random crazy things? Because they're in the Bible. You know, so often we go out soul winning. Well, the pastor told me that this is where we've been. Well, the pastor said that, you know, Brother Mason and I were out soul winning. And a person literally told me, I said, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? Yes. I know I'm going to heaven. What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? My pastor. Wrong answer. And you know, I pray to God that no one ever gives that answer here. Because if you're trusting in me to get you to heaven, we're in trouble. Don't trust man. Look at Acts 17, look at verse 10. Look what it says. Acts 17:10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming, Berea is a city, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Look what it says, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was another city. It says the people who lived in Berea, they were more noble. The word noble is talking about being just better, more mature, more, you know, it was better to be a noble than a peasant. It says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Look what it says. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, would preach the Bible to them, and these men wouldn't just say, well, the Apostle Paul said it, so it must be true. You know what they did? They went home, they read their Bible. And they said, is that true? Let's see if that's true. Let's read that. And that's what you should do. And by the way, they didn't have a bad attitude. You shouldn't have this attitude. You come and you're, I'm going to prove the pastor wrong. Look at what it says. They were more verse 11. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Pay attention to this. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They didn't have a bad attitude. They wanted to receive the word. They were ready to receive the word. But they just weren't naive about it either. You got to have a good attitude. Hey, I want to know the Bible. But don't be naive and just, well, the pastor said it. I could lead you astray. I could be lying to you. Read your Bible. And you know what the average pastor in America, they want their church to be spiritually dumb. Because they can say whatever they want and get away with it. Nobody said, that's not what we want here. We want mature, knowledgeable Christians. And if I ever preach something, you know, you have my permission. If I preach something to you that's not from the Bible, tune me out. Say nuts to you. But if it's in the Bible, you better listen to it. Better study it out. Read it. We said number one, the purpose of Bible reading. We said number two, the pupil in Bible reading. Number three, this is the last point, the practice of Bible reading. I want to give you some practical tips for your Bible reading. The first tip is this, Acts 17, look at verse 11 again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures, do you see the next word? Daily. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. If you're going to be a Christian who's fully mature and knows your Bible, you must read the Bible daily. Every day, read your Bible. They searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Go with me to Deuteronomy 17 in the Old Testament. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Let's do it quickly. The faster we do it, the faster we get out. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Look at verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Look at verse 18. Look what it says. Deuteronomy chapter number 17, verse 18. This is the law. It says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne. This is a law regarding to the king. God is telling, this is what I want your king to do. And it shall be, and this is by the way, before they had a king. Years before they had a king. It said, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. Out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, and he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law, and these statutes to do them. Do you see that? Let me read it again. I don't want you to miss it. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. How often should I read the Bible? Every day of your life. Why? You see how consistent the Bible is? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and the statutes to do them. You read the Bible to learn. How often? Every day. Now inevitably someone's going to say this. They're going to say, well, Pastor Jimenez, that's talking about kings. The king was supposed to do that. He was supposed to, did you notice he was supposed to make a copy of the Bible? Could you imagine doing that? Taking your Bible and taking a blank notebook, and you're going to start from the first verse and start writing it down by hand. You'll learn the Bible doing that. That's what the king was supposed to do. And then after he did that, he was supposed to read that every day. Say, well, Pastor Jimenez, that's for the king. I told you to keep your finger in 1 Peter, right? Go back to 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at verse 9. That's for kings. That's for the king of Israel. Oh, really? Look at verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You see that? and holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. The Bible says when you got saved, God made you a royal priesthood. You're there in 1 Peter? Go with me to Revelation. Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Revelation, chapter number 1. Look at verse 5. Revelation, chapter number 1. Look at verse 5. Look at it quickly. Look what it says. Revelation, chapter number 1. Look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Look at verse number 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Bible says when you got saved, God made you a king. And by the way, mom and dad, I teach that to your children. Say, no, son, you're not going to walk around like, you know, with all those people, you know, drinking and smoking and having sex and no, you're better. People used to say this to me all the time when I was in the military. Say, you don't do this and you don't drink. Do you think you're better than us? Yes, I think I'm better than you.
Amen.
All right, that's right. I'm a king, according to the Bible. I'm a priest, according to the Bible. I'm a royal priest, a holy nation, and you are too.
Yes.
And God said, you're a king. You know what a king should do? Read his Bible every day. You know what a king should do every day of his life? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. I mean, I'm giving you practical things about Bible reading. Read it every day. Not just that, but go with me to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. You open up your Bible and smack down in the middle of the Bible, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Psalm 63. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 63:1. Not only should you read your Bible every day, but you should have a set time to read your Bible every day. You must have a set time. And by the way, let me just give you this thing. First thing in the morning, read your Bible. Just do it. First thing in the morning, I don't have enough time to get up. You know, then get up earlier. Then get up earlier. Give yourself the time. Read your Bible first thing in the morning. Psalm 63, look at verse 1. Look what it says. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Look what it says. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You're there in Psalm 63. Go to the next book. Proverbs, chapter number 8. Proverbs, chapter number 8. Look at verse number 17. Proverbs, chapter number 8. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, this is wisdom talking. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Let me tell you something. If you have this attitude about Bible reading, I'll read it when I get to it. You'll never read it. I'll read it when I have some downtime. You'll never have downtime. You'll always have something to do. You'll always have someone to feed, someone to give a ride to, someone to spank. You know, you're always going to be busy doing something. That's why it's better to just read your Bible in the morning and be done with it. And get it done. I've literally gotten to the point, you know, my alarm clock goes off every morning at 5:30 in the morning. I've literally gotten to the point where I get up at 5:30 on my day off, read the Bible, pray, and go back to bed. Because if I'm planning on sleeping in. Because if I just sleep in, you know, it's like I worked, you know, 6 days, 12-hour days, and my day off I sleep in. As soon as I, you know, we got things to do. We got to go do this. We got to go run these errands. Just do it. And I'm not telling you to do that. That's just something I do because I'm weird. But read your Bible first thing in the morning. It should be the most important thing. You know, you should read your Bible. You know, you should feed your spiritual man before you read your physical man. You know, you should be. I'm not going to eat a bowl of cereal before I read my Bible. I'm going to feed my spiritual man before I read my physical man. Read your Bible. Have a set time every day to read your Bible. If you leave it to when you get around to it, you're never going to get around to it. Get on a program. Get a chart. Here, probably next week or the next couple weeks, we're going to start handing out Bible charts. We give them out every year. We're going to have a chart where you can read through your Bible cover to cover in a year. You're going to have a chart to read 9 chapters a day in a year. Keep track. Keep track of the books you read, the chapters you read, check them off and get on a program, you know, use those charts or use your own program, whatever. Do whatever you got to do, but do it organized. People have this idea, well, I'm just going to read the Bible, you know, and eventually I'll read the whole thing. That's you'll never. Because you know what? When you sit down to read the Bible, you know what you read? What we all read. Psalms, Proverbs, the Gospels. Why? Because those are great books of the Bible. No one sits down and says, I want to get alone with God. I think I'm going to read the book of Leviticus. I'm gonna go through 10 chapters in Chronicles about so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so for 10 chapters, and I'm just gonna get something out of it. That's not gonna happen. The only way you're gonna read that is because it's the next on your check. Get organized. Reading your Bible practically every day. Make a time every day. Get a chart, get an organization. And last point is this. We're gonna look at three. No, I'm lying to you. I got another page. And there's a conclusion. Just listen right here, clearly. Because this is really important. If you have a family, I cannot stress this enough. Have family Bible time. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Let's do it fast. Don't worry. If I go a little longer this morning, I'll make it up to you tonight. I don't come tonight. Well, then, come tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look at verse 6. What the Bible says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And that, this is one of my favorite verses when it comes to family Bible reading. And thou, talking to the parent, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The Bible said, Mom and Dad, it's your job to teach your kids the Bible. Pastor, I thought it was your job. I thought it was the youth group job. That's why we don't have a youth group. We will never have a youth group. Because I'm not going to steal your children's hearts. You teach them the Bible. Bible says, and thou, that's singular, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It sounds like God wants you talking about the Bible and teaching the Bible and reading the Bible with your kids all day long. Say, Pastor, I don't have kids. Do you have a spouse? Have family Bible time with your spouse. You're still a family. I'm single. Then have family Bible time with yourself. But do it. Read the Bible. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Let's do it quickly. The reason we're going slow is because you're taking a long time. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse 15. This is my goal for my children. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And look what he says. He says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul looked at a young man, Timothy. He said, you know what I like about you, Timothy? That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. And that'll be the goal with your children. The goal for your children would be, hey, you've known the Bible from when you were a little child. Why? Because when you're a child, you've been taught the Bible. You're learning the Bible. Have family Bible time. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let me just settle this right now, because this is what people are thinking. Well, yeah, Pastor, it's easy for you to have family Bible time, because you're the pastor. Well, no, you got the same Holy Spirit I got. You got the same King James Bible I got. Hey, I'm not saying you got to understand everything you're reading, but, you know, especially if you got older kids, you know, when my kids are young, 2 and 4, so we just go through the stories of the Bible, we read it, and I explain it to them, you know, and tell them. But if you got older kids, hey, just pick a book of the Bible. Pick Matthew or Mark or Luke, John. John's a great one. John, chapter 1, has X amount of verses. Divide that amongst yourselves. Each of you read a little bit. Talk about what you think it means. Have that time. Pray together. Sing a song. Sing songs, you know, praises to God. That's what we do. Well, when it's young kids, they're always going to sing the same song. And, you know, so with my kids, when we begin our Bible time, we sing the B-I-B-L-E, we have our Bible time, and then, you know, my kid, we let Joshua pick to begin with, and Jordan pick. So this is what we always say. The B-I-B-L-E, we have our Bible time, and then we finish off with a very spiritual song, picked by a 2-year-old Joel, Old McDonald's. Old McDonald had a farm. That's what we sing in our Bible time. It's okay, have fun. You know, but read the Bible. He said, you know, and by the way, let me tell you this. You're in 1 Timothy? If dad should lead Bible time, the father is the spiritual leader. And dad, you better just, you walk into that living room, you turn off the television, and you tell your kid, we're having Bible time. And well, they don't want to. I don't care what they're doing. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, we might serve the Lord if they feel up to it, if they like it, if they're not busy. If they, you know, get them off of Facebook. Get them off of PlayStation. Turn off the television and say, hey, we're going to read the Bible. Amen. And you say, well, Pastor, there's no man in my home. wonderful thing about Timothy. I love it. Because look at, you're there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 3. Look what it says. Look what Paul said. He said, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Look what he says. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, he's talking to Timothy. Remember we just read that he told Timothy, you know, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures? He said, the unfeigned faith which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Who's missing? He said, hey Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures from a child. He said, and I know it dwelt, that faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and that faith dwelt in your mother Eunice. Who's missing? Why is dad not mentioned? You know why? Because he's not there. And if there's no spiritual man in the house, then mom, you better step up and say, hey, we're reading the Bible. Have Bible time with your kids. Read the Bible with your children. Pray with your children. Teach them the Bible. Disciple your children. You only got them for a short amount of time. Have family Bible time. We talked about the purpose of Bible reading. We talked about the pupil in Bible reading. We talked the practice of Bible reading. Let's finish up with just a few thoughts. You're there in 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 13. Look what it says. 1 Timothy 4:13. The bottom line is this. God commands us to read the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He said, give attendance. That word attendance means, he said, I want you to pay attention to these things. Reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Reading is your personal Bible reading. Exhortation is what we're doing right now, preaching. Doctrine is just the teaching of the Scriptures. He said, this is what I want you to pay attention to. This is what I want you to give attention to. Reading, exhortation, doctrine. Isaiah 34:16. If you can't go there quickly, just listen. I'll read it for you. Isaiah 34:16. Look at what the Bible says. Listen to what it says. Isaiah 34:16. This is what God said. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. God said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. God commands us to read the Bible. And if you don't read your Bible, you're disobedient. If you're there in Isaiah, go with me to the book of Hosea. You got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, then you've got the book of Hosea. If you could just follow with me, we're going to look at two verses and we're done. Hosea chapter number 4, look at verse 6. Hosea chapter number 4, look at verse 6. Look what the Bible says. Hosea 4:6. I want you to understand this. Hosea 4:6. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. And I will also forget thy children. Do you see that? He said, my people are destroyed. Why are they destroyed? For lack of knowledge. And he said, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. He said, because you forgot about my law. You know, you go home after church on Sunday morning, you set your Bible down, and it's in the exact same place the next week. Why? Because you didn't pick it up all week, because you didn't read it all week. You forgot. He says, because you've forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Go with me, this is the last passage, Matthew chapter number 22. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 22. Look at verse 29, we're done. Matthew 22, 21. The Bible says this, Matthew chapter number 22, verse 29. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. I want to challenge you to read your Bible. 9 chapters a day, cover to cover. Memorize it, read it, know it. Jesus said, ye do err for not knowing the Scriptures. Don't raise your hand, but let me just ask you this question. Let this be something you answer in your head. How much time do you spend this week watching TV versus in the Word of God? You know that God speaks to us through His Word? This is how we communicate with God. He talks to us through the Bible. We talk to Him through prayer. Did you spend more time today with Hollywood this week than with God Almighty? How much time did you spend on Facebook this week compared to God? How much time did you spend, you know, just wasting on video games and sports and all this other trash that has no eternal value? As opposed to just getting alone with God and reading your Bible. I'm trying to encourage you to be a fully grown, mature Christian who reads their Bible every day. And you're not going to be like the guy who's just tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. Lord, I pray you'd help this sermon to just go down deep into the hearts of the people, and that we would be a people who would read their Bibles. We love you, Father, in your precious name, I pray. Amen.